Hello, everybody, and indeed, welcome to the Metaverse Podcast. This is another edition of the Metaverse Podcast, the 46th such one. I'm Jero, joined by Carter Curry.
Hi.
Min.
Hello.
Highway.
Hi, everyone.
And Skyline.
Hello.
On this edition of the podcast, we are going to be talking about all the shows, or as many as we're interested in talking about. If it's airing right now, we're likely going to be talking about it. There's going to be some that we're going to skip because the five of us have probably not watched it, probably don't care for it, etc., etc. But we will be talking about a lot of them. So first up, Bakumatsu Rock, which is what we're one of those we're skipping. I'll mention if we're skipping a show because, just to let people know that we're not going to be talking about them. But the first show that we will actually be talking about is Glasslip. Skyline, yes. How do you feel about this?
Current favorite shows airing this season, largely because I'm a sucker for PA Works anime. It's gorgeous backgrounds, always good to watch. Love the soundtrack. Just that classically inspired soundtrack is just so nice to listen to each and every single time. And then, of course, there are the characters. I think Highway and I have discussed this on his posts for the show, but there's that feeling that you are you're caught in the middle of this. You're not understanding. You're not given all the information. You're not spoon-fed the relationships as much as you are during some other romances or romantic comedies. So there's that feeling that you're more involved in trying to suss out their feelings.
Yeah, for me, it's actually become my favorite PA Works show. And it really does have, like I've mentioned multiple times in my posts about the director being the same one as for True Tears for PA Works also. And the feel of the show is very similar to True Tears, where you're kind of off balance through the whole thing. Like, you don't really know what's going on. Well, you know what's going on, but you don't really know what will happen. And nothing seems set in stone like in so many other shows. So it's got this really good off-kilter feel all the way through. And, of course, like Skyline said, it is beautiful and the characters are very nice. And they've a lot of nice relationships. It actually focuses on multiple relationships throughout the show.
Well, I like how things are not too overly dramatic. Things are very much in the moment, and they can seem to happen very abruptly. You know, characters can change from one emotion to the next almost instantly, and then go back again. And it kind of feels like these are very natural conversations that characters could have.
All right, and from there we'll move on to a couple of shows we're going to skip. Free, Eternal Summer. Nobody. Didn't some of you watch season one of Free?
I watched it. I participated in blogging it too.
Yeah,
and I watched it partly because it's KyoAni, but it's just it lost me. I towards the end I just did not like care for the characters and the story at all.
Yeah, I'm with Min on that one. I gave the first season a try, did not like it all that much, and came in for the second episode when I was promised lolis, and there was briefly lolis, and then they were gone, and then I got angry, and now I hate the show. You know, so, you know, be careful how you advertise on these things, okay, people? Come on.
I found the second second series to be better than the first, just because the character that's a jerk isn't nearly as much of a jerk as Rin was a jerk in the first series. So, it's a little better than the first series.
Yeah, definitely.
Another show we're skipping is Arg Volan, the full name I can't remember. I guess, especially for myself, I wasn't a fan of the first episode. And did anybody watch longer than that?
Nope, just first episode.
All right, yeah.
I will report that I have some sources, a few people I know on G+, specifically the anime talk community there, that it's actually come around and enough to the point to where if I see another positive report on it, that I might give it a shot.
All right.
This is some of the more military aspects have settled down and the characters have become a little bit more believable.
Okay. That's good to hear. Rail Wars is up next. Highway.
This is a show that's, it's a lot of fan service and it's really getting into being a harem show, and it's A little surprising, not much surprising, given the other shows that the series composition writer has done. But it's got this charm about it. They've really cleaned up their act. The first three episodes are just full of terrible continuity errors. Like, they're at the shooting range and they're putting on ear protection, and then they're shooting a gun with no ear protection, and then the next scene there's ear protection again, and just terrible continuity errors. But they've really fixed a lot of those.
They go to a shooting range for rail enforcement.
Yeah, they're like the police force at the at the Japanese rail, but it's interesting in the way they're doing it. So the show's got a lot more charm than you'd imagine it would. I think it's doing very well, even for being kind of a fan service and harem show.
Next up is Tokyo Ghoul Skyline.
Yeah, I thought I'd show this a little love. I absolutely could not stand the first two episodes. The main character was just whiny as all get out. And I kind of understand where it was coming from. I just wish they would have pulled it back a little bit more and not made it so abrasive. But past couple of episodes, I've actually enjoyed the ghoul culture. How they're trying to be self-sustaining is of incredible interest, and how they even have a subculture within it that has these weird-ass gladiatorial games. Because, you know, that happens in subcultures and stuff like that. You know, people just want to kill each other. It happens. And the main character, who I'm having a mental gas explosion. What's
Kaneki.
His name? Yeah, I like his kind of stewardship and caretaker role that he's assumed for Himari, the little girl. It makes his character seem a little bit more natural, a little bit less forced.
So you're liking the story overall? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I've said this before, but I want to wait for the Blu-rays to release before watching.
Yeah, it kind of makes all the difference in the world, because I've been rewatching Brunhilde in Darkness with the Blu-ray availability on. It's like, oh, so that's what they were blotting out. Creepy.
Yeah, in some cases, like in Brunhilde, it's pretty obvious what they're blotting out, but with Tokyo Ghoul, there's some more violent stuff.
Yeah.
We move on from that to Loco Doll Highway. That's an extreme.
It is an extreme. Loco Doll's one of those shows that just catches me. I watch a lot of those shows, like Supersonico was very similar in feel to Loco Doll. It's just a lot of fun to watch. They're just doing, it's just kind of a normal people doing a little bit abnormal stuff. And they just finished an arc with the Cute and Loose characters field day. And the whole show is kind of like the Cute and Loose characters field day. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's just fun to watch.
So is it like Slice of Life with famous people?
No, it's not Slice of Life. It's more like a plot about them becoming, they're trying to be local idols, to be kind of spokespeople for the town. This is kind of smallish city that doesn't really have anything amazing about it, that doesn't have a lot of tourists, and it's like all smallish cities is kind of declining in population. And they're trying to just inject some life into things, and they do stuff on TV, like the two main characters do stuff like they're doing the pest control reports for as like one thing, or they go to a restaurant and do a report on the food there, and do events at supermarket openings and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. So next up is a pretty big one here. Sword Art Online 2. And I'll start by saying I dropped this show last week because I cannot put up with it anymore. I don't know if I've really talked about my interest in Sword Art Online on Metanorn, so just very quickly, I didn't watch it when it started, waited until about the end, liked Sword Art Online the game, did not care for Alfheim Online, but I was still interested enough in the show to check out Phantom Bullet and Gun Gale, and when it started, looked pretty cool, first-person shooter, MMO game. But then as the stuff with Xenon got started, I thought that story was a little bit too heavy, and it kind of showed me that sometimes I think the show can overreach a bit. And then come the bullet of bullets, preliminary rounds.
Mm-hmm. Qualifiers.
Oh, yeah, qualifiers. That's when I realized that it's not fun. One-on-one in FPS games, not really that fun anyway. Probably should have done a group to make it at least a little bit more interesting. And that the show kind of does some things sometimes just for the convenience's sake of, well, we want Kirito to feel this way. We want him to experience some trauma for killing people in Sword Art Online. That part of it kind of bothered me because I felt like, had we seen any bit of that in the extra movie or seen any bit of that in Sword Art Online 2 in Gun Gale, I felt it would have been a little bit more believable that they were kind of working towards something. But how does a guy that did that feel like, I'm 99% sure that Def Gun is just a rumor? Like, so much, there's so much about the show that kind of takes me out of it, makes me critique it, that I just don't feel like watching anymore.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm still continuing it, but I also thought, like, the first half of season one wasn't too bad. Actually, part of it was pretty good, and then the second half just went to shit towards the end completely. And I thought, okay, maybe they can start over again on the good side, but no, it's kind of continuing the train wreck. I'm actually enjoying it a lot. Just for what it is, I just find it one of the like funniest shows, because every single time you think like it's too obvious, they're not going to make Kirito that, you know, overpowered, they're not going to give him that much, you know, this, they're going to make him like struggle or something, but no, it's like, no, he immediately upon jumping into this world, he beats the challenge that no one's been able to do forever, and gets a ton of money,
which doesn't really look that hard anyway.
Right, and because for some reason,
the bullets.
Like, and he's apparently the only one who thought, okay, I should predict where those prediction lines will go instead of just relying on them. It's like the concept of FPSs, and then of course he gets the sword, which again, he's the only one who has a sword, and he uses it just masterfully, being able to predict where like sniper bullets will go. And yeah, again, this is something no one's thought of before, even though there's an entire class of sword weapons in the game, which are apparently really valuable too. So you'd think that the they might figure out that the game designers thought of something, but no, he's the only one who does this. But it's so ridiculous and stupid that it's funny. It's just really enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't like I still think that bringing a sword to a gunfight is an incredibly stupid idea, but I guess it works
sword.
For him.
He's bringing an energy sword to a gunfight. That changes the stakes right there, baby.
But I guess it's okay to watch as long as you don't think about it too hard. Like, it's still, like Livlin was saying, it's pretty funny just watching it like that. Episode 6, I think it was, though, like at the end with the fight between, what is her name?
Xenon.
Xenon and Kirito. Like, I couldn't sit through that. Just the strength, what was it?
Skill,
yeah. Not strength. Yeah, that was just, I had to fast forward. It was just too cheesy.
I just love that. Apparently the game has some built-in randomizer for where the bullet goes based on your heartbeat. But Kirito can still predict exactly where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. So, from point blank by looking at her eye. Yeah.
Yeah. And they made a point earlier in the series of talking about how the sniper rifle that she uses is overpowered. But then, and she's supposed to be an expert at it. And here she is scattering them everywhere but Kirito.
Well, no, she explained that. She explained that the first couple of shots she made, she was pissed off and wanted him to take it serious.
I was reminded of Metal Gear Solid 2.
I could shoot you, but I'm not going to. I'm just gonna try to make you mad and make you take this serious. Oh, okay. You're not gonna take it serious. One more shot at I do. Yeah.
But yeah, remember the black woman in Metal Gear Solid 2? She had a
misfortune.
Fortune. She had a device that that made bullets go around her. Mm-hmm. That's basically Kirito, just his aura, I guess.
Yeah.
Bullets no better than F with Kirito. Come on.
But yeah, Sword Art Online, as Fosh would say, comedy of the year.
I think you guys are kind of, or at least Kara and Min are kind of hitting on it the best way. It's a show that you don't take serious. It has an overpowered MC. If you can't enjoy it for that, then you can't enjoy it. That's just basically it at the bottom line.
And I had accepted that, but then when it kind of gets in the way of actual plot and story, that's when it's like, oh, come on. Because what were the stakes that Kirito absolutely needed to win that qualifier? They were both in the finals. They should have just went ahead and let Shinon win. That's a selfish way of thinking, but I don't know.
No, I agree.
It would have given a lovely fold to the plot.
Yeah.
So we move on from that to Space Dandy, and I believe for the most part, this season has been a home run each week. All the episodes in their own way have been pretty good, especially like the Masaki Yuasa episode that he did. The musical episode from a couple weeks was just wonderful. It's been great.
Well, the last episode, I think, kind of tripped a little bit, but it was still pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. It has been a home run this season. I was kind of mixed on it in the first season, but this one, it's just been heads and shoulders above. And I also agree that the latest episode was probably the weakest, but still, you know, pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's. I feel like they're really making good on the promise of Space Dandy, which is showing really talented directors kind of do their thing and put their own spin onto this same, you know, central character, what have you. And yeah, Masaki Yuasa's episode was just, yeah, gorgeous, amazing. I loved it. But that, you know, that was by not the only episode with just spectacular animation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just been a lot of fun to watch.
And then, of course, Emo Dandy, probably the star, definitely star of this season. So from that, we move on to another comedy show that has been pretty enjoyable so far, Sabagabu. How do you feel about this show, Kara?
Well, I went into it, like, just testing things out. It turned out to be, like, the first episode was okay, but as it went on, I don't know, it just got funnier. And then the main character, I think her name is Momoka? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, she just, like, carries the show. It's not often you get a main character who just does not care about things.
Anyone else. Other
Anyone
than her.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a really, really funny, well done slapstick comedy with it's kind of fallen into a pattern of three different segments each episode. It reminded me, somewhat of Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei, which is another big slapstick, discontinuous, dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Except I guess the main character is almost the exact opposite, whereas Zetsubou Sensei, he's all about hurting himself and being depressed. In this one, it's all about her just dominating everyone else, cheating, and, you know, just doing her own thing, super selfish, everything. I love the bit. Well, there's so many bits, but like when she faces off against this guy on a shooting game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's losing even though she's doing very well, and because he's like an expert. So what do you do? You take the other gun and beat him over the head. That way he can't beat you, and that's how she wins. It's just every time she has a chance to do something underhanded and violent to someone else, she does it. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
She shot her own conscience. I mean, the little good angel and bad angel show up and proceed to have this rollicking gunfight through the whole woods, and then the good angel wins, and Momoka just shoots it. It's like, I don't care what you say. And the thing that defined her character for me was in the part where she was facing off in the shooting game against the national champion that Min was talking about, was after she pistol whips the guy, she kicks him when he's down and then goes back to playing the game. I mean, she's just, usually I just can't stand characters that are just bad people doing bad things. But for some reason, I just like her doing bad things, because it's like she's not really that bad a person. She just doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. And there's also an element of surprise to what she does. There's nothing like, we saw that coming.
Yeah, you're right. You never have you didn't see her like whack the guy, and it's just totally unexpected every time.
Incredibly subversive show, you know. Like Highway says, you know, you hate to see bad people do bad things, because that's just absolutely horrible. But somehow this show, or not somehow, just through good writing and good pacing, they're able to give you kind of that safety zone where you know it's comedy. You know it's meant to be slapstick. You know that there's a certain viciousness to it, but it's meant to be taken tongue in cheek.
Have you guys seen the manga for this?
No.
Because the manga is categorized as the shoujo manga.
Oh, you're kidding.
Sure.
Yeah.
One of the things I was going to say about it is that, you know, women are people too. Hey, you know, and people are selfish, mean, nasty, and terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, so it only makes perfect sense that women are going to be that way too.
Yeah, it's and the character designs look a little different and a little more girly. And I think it was 5 or 6 where they made it a point to say that you wouldn't believe that this is a shoujo manga or something like that. The narrator also has been doing some really good stuff this season. It's not as much in recent episodes. The characters, the survival club, has been carrying it, but all in all, pretty solid. We're skipping Sengoku Basara Jujin because enough with Sengoku period shows, or any kind, a lot of period pieces, to be honest. Not all of them. I know some people liked Ikokumero no Kwase from a few years back. We'll move on to Sailor Moon Crystal. There's, 3 episodes so far or something like that?
Today was 4.
Okay, 4. Yeah, 2 a month. How's it going with the CG?
Actually, episode 3 with Ray's hair, I was actually super impressed with what they did. Like, it's hard for CG models, I think, with long, straight hair, but they actually did really good with that. I was surprised.
And I don't ask CG just because, oh, CG's animation is horrible, but I've been hearing some things like they didn't have personnel at the time or something like that. Like, I've been kind of hearing some things about what people think about the overall animation quality of the series.
I can't really say. I mean, I never watched any Sailor Moon before, so this is kind of like the first thing I have, and I can't compare it to anything. But I mean, you're comparing it to something from the 90s. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the animation back then wasn't really that great. So any time that the animation kind of falls down or has like choppy frame rates or weird derpiness, I kind of like, well, it's because it's like a based on a 90s kind of animation kind of thing. So for me, the animation doesn't get in the way of anything.
Okay.
The best part of the show for me is the way she says moon the whole time. And like, moon, prismu, power.
Well, what do you expect from the flying spaghetti monster?
It is, but just, she could say Seda Moon like a zillion times and I'd be fine for the show.
We'll move on to Jinsei next. Skyline.
Lovely, subversive little comedy, pretty much from beginning to end. You know, that's a strange basis when you get right down to it, a life advice column from high school students. I mean, just we're just going to take our best stab in the dark and pretend that we're experts on this. That way lies this complete and total malice. And I love the very playful competitive nature between the three of them that can somehow escalate into just insanity, and how everything is kind of like they're just using the life advice column as an excuse to kind of like do just a day trip, you know. We'll go shopping. It'll be part of answering the advice column. Yes, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll go on a training camp, you know, on a vacation spot, because that will help us, you know, advise people so much better. This most recent episode, they couldn't help themselves. They saw, you know, classified ads, and they were answering, just standing there, speaking answers to the classified ads. They, you know, you can lay off for a bit. Like, no, this, it's a hard drug, apparently.
The comments on the wall at the, mm-hmm. the comments, I love this supermarket kind of thing.
or when they're talking along during an Arrow DVD or in an Arrow DVD, you know, they're just kind of like identifying with the characters and different stuff like that. It's just, my goodness, can you get any more subversive than this sometimes? It was a lot of fun.
It is really a lot of fun. Smiley tried to got himself in deep trying to blog it, so I can't fault them for not blogging it, because there's not really much to talk about, but it is really fun to watch.
All right. Next up is Barakamon, and when we all watched the first episode, I think a lot of us saw Honda and Naru and thought, oh, it's going to be, you know, those two are going to be like the main focus of the show, and in some cases they are, especially for Honda being the main character, but I was kind of surprised at how much the overall ensemble has been able to shine so far, like the girl who's very much against Yaoi, some of the other kids around, like Hina, who hasn't done what we saw her do in episode 1, where she was all like super nervous. She seems to have just kind of not been very shy and just kind of having fun. It's been pretty solid so far. Nobody is watching Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun, which is
Well, I'm surprising. Watching it. We just don't need to talk about it.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess the same applies for Dramatical Murder. Kara is watching it, but not much to say there.
No. Just to laugh at the animation quality, mostly.
It's been bad.
Ow. It's been terrible. They had to redo episode 3 because it was just really bad.
I heard they issued an apology or something for the quality.
Yeah. And then they put out a second version.
Okay.
Wow. Really? Wow. It must have been quite something.
That's pretty like unbelievable.
It's like when Gurren Lagann episode 4, I think, or was it 3, when that came out and the director quit, resigned in like shame because of it. Anyone remember that?
I just remember the 11th episode of Wizard Barristers.
Ooh, that was terrible.
That was.
We're just going to vomit on the storyboard and put it on film.
We already animated this one page or one view. Let's just show that while they just talk.
Mm-hmm. All right. So next up is another big one, Aldenoa Zero. I talk about it every week. So then why don't you start with your thoughts?
So, yeah, this is, I guess it's got Urobuchi's name attached to it, which is always kind of a big deal. It's kind of seesawing for me, but between like awesome and terrible, because there are let's start with the good. I think it does action scenes very well for the most part, and I think the latest episode was a great example of that, where they're taking on the woman with the six rocket punches, and they managed to beat her in this one. But like, I thought this episode just did everything right, building up the tension, showing the characters like taking logical actions and actually building these fun action scenes. But at the same time, like I feel the underlying story just loses me completely, where it, I don't remember which Apollo it was, but sometime in the 70s or maybe there's a diversion or history diverts between our history and theirs, where they discovered something on the moon and then they went to Mars and set up colonies, and then the Martians decided they were better than humans. So there was some sort of big battle event like 15 years ago, and now they, the big thing that kicks things off in the first episode is that the princess of the Martian colonies comes into Earth and then gets assassinated, and that leads them to declare war on Earth, and shit blows up from there. Everything goes to hell. It just loses me in that they show this already developed like civilization and of Martians who are like racist against humans from Earth, even though, you know, they themselves didn't go there until about 40 years ago. And then whole plot, one part that lost me was
we could probably cut that. Instead of saying racist, we could probably say culturalist.
Sure. Bigoted in some way or form. And the part where Slane goes to the Emperor himself and then tells him, oh no, the princess is actually alive, and that convinces the Emperor, oh no, this Earthling, this Terran is lying to me. We need to keep going with the war, even though I had earlier thought of declaring an armistice to get peace. And it's like, and then the next episode they show like the history a bit of how the Emperor set things up, and it shows that he's a pretty evil guy. There was no reason to make him look like a good guy for a bit and then twist him with this Slane bit. It just felt like just really convoluted for no good reason. And yeah, it's like when the underlying basis is that bad, I feel like it's hard for me to just like really feel invested in the story. But at the same time, when the action's going good, it really is very good. So I'll say that.
I think it's been an okay show. I mean, I don't get super excited about super big event shows, but I mean, this one's been pretty good. The Martian guys are just total dicks. Yeah. I mean, they are. And it's like the most undeserving being a dick thing ever. I mean, it's like, well, we've got this power that the guy gave us that he got given, and he could give it to everybody, but he doesn't, so we're better than you. and that's their whole deal. So, I mean, it just, the whole concept of them being, oh, so superior, just ticks me off. And, I mean, the fighting's good, and I think Inaho needs to get a little bit of emotion sometime, maybe.
He seems sociopathic almost.
Ain't gonna happen.
But it's starting to get a little bit tedious.
You know, I think Earth missed its chance to defeat the Martians early on. They should have, like, you know, snuck onto Mars and like started developing McDonald's and Starbucks franchises. That would have totally completely kicked their ass left, right, and center. But you know, that's a long scope. You're missing the opportunity to look through. You know, Highway mentions it briefly about them finding this lost technology. I'm a sucker for those kind of stories, and for how I really wish it would have gone a bit more horrific and a bit more Lovecraftian in that fashion, as if there's something really, really sinister and nasty and ugly happening on the Martian surface. Because, you know, that was also, you know, Mars seems like a colony for a much larger race of some sort out there with superior technology and all that. So I'm hoping that we can find some inroads into exploring that, because that's a really good science fiction idea.
Martians
also
are
cataphracts. It's great that they use the term cataphracts.
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, yeah, look at 2001. I think that did a good job with that idea.
Okay, so next up is Akame Ga Kill, and spoilers for episode 6. Shaylee's dead. No, Tomomiko's dead. I loved her. But you could see it coming, you know. One of the only members of Night Raid that was actually nice to Tatsumi, she was bound to die.
I thought mine was going to die during that episode. I really did, and I was going to get angry.
But elsewise, besides the death stuff, and you got to wonder who's next at this point, if there is really a next. I mean, I don't read the manga, so I don't know, but as far as just, you know, general shonen shows go, this one is pretty interesting and pretty violent. You know, seeing in that episode like a couple couple of times Shale and some other guy were cut in half, and you know, you see the other half of them flying and stuff. You know, it's pretty neat for like cartoony graphic stuff.
Yeah, I'm still surprised that they haven't censored. Like, they're getting away with a lot.
Yeah, they do it in a interesting way where it's just like a still shot, but still to show so much. It kind of reminds me of a little bit like, well, not the same as Infamous, where they did their sort of moving picture style, but, you know, they have an interesting way of showing the more graphic scenes, and those all look pretty cool. Like when Mine was crying and, you know, declaring her revenge on Seru Ubiquitous?
Ubiquitous. Because when you can't figure out the name, call it Ubiquitous.
All right, so next up is Hanayamata Highway.
I love this show. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. I know Skyline's blogging it because I decided not to really argue that much about it. But it's really a nice show about a school club. I mean, at heart, it's a school club with the kind of standard super ginky girl, and then there's the introverted girl who wants to do better, and then there's the girl who's really good at everything. But I mean, they're throwing in a little bit of stuff. The yosakoi that is in the show, I think they're doing fine with it. Some people complain, oh, they don't do enough yosakoi. I'm like, they don't do enough anything of the subject in any anime. That they don't have enough glass blowing and glass lip. They don't have enough of everything in every anime. So, but they do show little snippets, and they do show them making progress, and they do show the club being put together, and it's just charming and fun, and the characters really work together very well.
All right, Highway, you're also watching Blue Spring Ride or Alharu Ride.
Yeah, this is a nice shoujo show that's so far it's not doing the oh, will they get together and will they won't, and can someone bring up her feelings, and do they really love him? And it's done a little bit of that, but it hasn't felt like it's on the merry-go-round or the treadmill that so many shoujo shows feel like Kimi no Todoke is just terrible with. I dropped that because it just get on with it kind of thing. But this one is getting on with it, and it actually seems to have a couple that's interested in each other. It's not just the girl chasing the guy or just the guy chasing the girl. It's they're both kind of moving closer towards each other. And even though they're showing it from the girl's perspective, you kind of see what the guy is doing to hang around her more, to be more supportive of her, that he's not that, and he's doing it on purpose, because he's not doing it with others. It's not just he's a nice guy that helps everybody out. He helps her out specifically. And Futaba's trying to get over her previous personality that she'd adopted to not be the target. And it just, the show's very nice.
Okay. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is watching Rehamatora. And I don't like acknowledging it because that means it's an anime that's being made. And it shouldn't, because why? We'll never know. But they want to make it, so whatever. We'll just ignore it, like everybody else is. Next up is Maji Moji Rurumo Skyline.
Oh, this show needs so much more love. I wish more people watched it. It's I mean, at its very basis, it's a cute little romantic comedy. They throw a twist on it by making the witch, instead of like a Genki girl, she's a quiet, very, very, very quiet, very incredibly reserved type. And so that leaves a lot of people around her having to add a little bit more in. And then that's the main character, Shibaki. And I like him. You know, in the first impression, I described him as a guy that had, you know, on one sleeve he has a perverse heart, on the other sleeve he has a generous heart. And so it's always interesting and fun to see how those you know, two hearts kind of interact with each other, and see the generous heart, the nice heart, went out at the very end. In the basis of the show, her powers are locked away as a form of punishment. She's a witch, and Shibaki is given a booklet of magical tickets, and he can use those tickets to activate her powers to grant a wish. The stronger the wish, the stronger the desire for him to be able to use her magic, the more tickets it burns up. And it's interesting because he starts off by wanting to use them for his own ends, sometimes his own perverse ends, but it always ends up helping out other people. It's just the way it always turns out. His guilt gets to him, and he ends up doing the right thing. So it's a fun, good, cute little show to watch.
Next up is Love Stage. Kara, how's this been? How's this one been?
Well, the beginning was how do I put this? The main character, like, okay, he's adorable. That's the whole thing. Like, the Uke in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He falls in love with the main guy. Other way around. The Seme falls in love with the Uke because he sees the Uke cross-dressing as a child. So it's kind of got gender things going on. But yeah, the Uke is absolutely adorable with everything he does, which is a huge thing.
Has it been funny overall? That's one thing that I noticed watching the first episode, is that comedic-wise, it looks pretty funny.
Yeah, they actually added some things in from the manga with the, I think there are two mascot characters, and they do make things funny.
Okay, next up we're going to skip Black Butler, Book of Circus. I had said I liked that first episode, but I have not had any interest yet, at least, in watching the original Kurdo Tsuji, at least up until episode 15, where it in some ways is kind of a brotherhood situation with the story there. But next up is Terror in Resonance. I have not watched the most recent episode. How's it been, Min? You can go ahead and spoil.
Yeah, okay. Well, me neither, actually. So okay. We're in the same boat. Well, my impression is it started off pretty strong, but the latest episodes, especially with the introduction of the woman, number five. 12, I think.
Five.
Is five. 12 is one of the guys.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just another one. Not anyway, but I feel like I'm still waiting for it to grab me. Like, we got the two bad guys who are going around terrorizing, blowing shit up, but they're also avoiding killing people for whatever reason. And we got the cops who are not the most competent, except for this one guy,
mm-hmm.
who, thank God, he decides to take an interest in helping them.
Yeah,
because he was kind of working the desk before. But I think it does a pretty good job of like building this setup with the cops and robbers. I'm a big fan of shows like 24, where it's, you know, a kind of a thriller. Mm-hmm. Terrorist, good guys chasing bad guys, but it's, you know, 6-7 episodes in, there's this girl who's kind of just hanging on, and I'm not sure why she's there, and I wish they did more with her already. And then also adding on like another character who's apparently super evil, and she was going to let people die in the teas, but the bad guys had to rush to prevent that from happening. It's like, okay, that's a little bit of intrigue, but at the same time, like, I liked these bad guys as the bad guys. I don't need somebody else to suddenly step in and, you know, become super evil bad guy.
What Five did is she kind of made them the lesser of two evils. And I was waiting for that moment from the beginning of the show, is when would we start to be sympathetic toward their cause? And maybe it's starting in episode 5, because I don't think we exactly knew it was their intention to not kill anybody with these terrorist attacks from the start. I also agree with you about Lisa. She is presenting no worth to the series so far, other than just doing very kind of tropey stuff. Girl who
cooking.
Can't cook. Although I thought that at least had the thing where 12 was saying, well, this is better than the food that we were eating in prison. But elsewise, she just hasn't,
she faints.
Boom. Oh, dear. just how casually you said that. But it's been a pretty good show so far. Persona 4 Golden, none of us are interested enough in talking about it yet because in some way Kara's already blogged the series and we've all already watched Persona 4. But it's the time where Persona Q is coming out, Persona 4 Arena, the Ultimax is coming out. You got to get on that hype train for Persona and get out an anime right now.
Really, the whole Persona 4 Golden thing so far just feels like a long string of those OVAs, like the beach one or the hot springs. Well, they haven't done hot springs, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard they covered like 6 months and four episodes or something, and it's so that they can get to all the special parts of the Golden version, because the Golden was the re-release on the Vita with a lot of extra content. So
next up is Tokyo ESP.
I hear a lot, you know, you hear a lot about this show and that the fact that it seems like an X-Men ripoff.
Yep.
And it is.
Well, okay. this is my defense of that. I started reading X-Men comics back in 1983 when I was 12. And that was when they started with the big crossover events where they would have multiple titles just kind of dogpile on one each other and tell a great big old story. And I watched that happen through the 80s and the 90s of it get kind of progressively a bit more insipid until Age of Apocalypse came out in the mid-90s, and that was really good. And they wouldn't leave it well enough alone. They had a second Age of Apocalypse, which sucked, which led to another iteration of X-Men, which led to another iteration of X-Men. And then they had House of M, where all the X-Men disappeared, and then they came back. So the X-Men have been ripping off the X-Men when you get right down to it. So if something else can come along and rip off the X-Men and maybe do marginally better, I think I might be for that.
And after I don't think there's anything wrong with it ripping off X-Men.
So, you know, that's the defense to anyone that who doesn't say, I don't think there's anything wrong with, oh, it's an X-Men ripoff. Forget about it. that's my defense right there for it. Even the X-Men rip the X-Men off. So, but to speak positively about it, it's a really good show. I like the diversity of powers. I like that it has a strange, weird power source behind it that you can't place a finger on because it has a penguin and golden fish flying through the air. And someone says they have control of the flying fish, but they might not. And there's, you know, a container ship in the air that hits Tokyo Tower. And things happen. You know, things get shaken up. And it's interesting to see how everyone's reacting to that.
Yeah, I think I like kind of the X-Men parallels where you got it's not mutants, but it's sort of similar. They kind of randomly get these powers, but I guess it's not really random. Somebody's pulling the strings. But some of them decide, hey, we're better than humans. We should rule over them, kind of like Magneto. And others decide, hey, we want to help the humans because only we can help the humans because we have the powers to fight against the other guys who are evil, like Professor X or Spider-Man. So, yeah, it's not, you know, always great. Some parts, I'm really nitpicking here, but things like invisible boxer, like they seem to, like if you know that she's a boxer and she's invisible, you should go in there prepared to fight that. But no, this teleporter who, you know, okay, teleporter versus invisible boxer, that could be a pretty fun fight, but if the teleporter goes in prepared, knowing that he's not going to be able to see her normally, but no, he just gets beat up because he's kind of dumb. But at the same time, it does a lot of fun things. It escalates. And yeah, in the first episode, we had, the Capitol building flying above Tokyo.
Yeah.
And recently we had the container ship, as you said. And yeah, it's things are kind of crazy. And that's good.
Anything to add, Cara?
Well, they've been doing a pretty good job, well, more so than others, with power balancing. Like Rinka's power of being able to go through things, like there's got to be a stopping point. And they actually defined where she can go through objects, but not people. Like, I thought that was important to point out, since if she went through people, no one would be able to touch her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, and next up is Six Tatami Invaders, Roku Joma. Who wants to start in Highway?
I'll start. Yeah, this is a fun show. This is maybe the most fun show of the season. And usually when they start off with introducing umpteen characters in the first episode, you're just waiting for it to descend in this morass of too many characters. But they've done a good job keeping the characters separate, having them be kind of rivals, and but not like bitter rivals, and not really stepping on each other too much, and not backstabbing each other, even though for each of them the stakes in their rivalry is pretty important. And they're doing really well with one character in particular. The magical girl is just this shrinking violet who has no confidence and is whiny, and that they're doing so well keeping her right on the edge. She doesn't get too whiny. She's someone that I'm actually really rooting for. And you just want Eureka to succeed, because she seems like a really nice person who's just not comfortable at all with what she's doing. But the whole thing is just great, especially the two Haniwa dolls that one of the character has. Mm-hmm. Like, all the main characters are voiced, the main girls are voiced by like new voice actors. Like, none of them have ever had any other role. I think one of them had like two lines in another series. And then they get Ayana Taketatsu and Yuki Aoi to be these two Haniwa dolls that to kind of fly around and do magic for one of the characters, and they're just hilarious. So I really like the show.
Okay, so we'll move on to a show that we're going to skip, Nobunaga Concerto. Nobody likes that show, I guess. Same for Shonen Hollywood. So we have two more shows from the summer season to talk about. We'll start with Blade Dance there, Skyline.
OMG. Watch anything else. Anything else. Turn on ESPN2. There's a knitting competition. Watch that. All
right.
You know, if there's skydiving into a wood chipper, watch that instead.
Wow. Wow. That's
bad. It's pretty bad, but I'm still watching it.
Does it compare to Dime a Dollar?
I haven't dropped it yet.
On levels of awfulness?
Yeah.
It's not as awful as Dime a Dollar. It's just not that good. It's just not good.
Yeah, Dime a Dollar is awful apple. Blade Dance is awful orange. You know, I mean...
Yeah. They're just totally... It's like a
rotten fruit.
Yeah, it's Blade Dance is like a very bad ripoff of Zero No Skymia. It's a very bad one.
You know, we just talked about Six Tatami Invaders. That's harem comedy done incredibly right. Blade Dance is its complete and polar opposite. It is harem done bad, dry, dull as ditch water.
And everything's always interrupted by the Sundere character.
Right.
The Sundere character.
Right.
Just every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, not that every light novel is this way, but I just saw this as it's some more light novel crap harem anime. I know, like, we like High School DxD here,
yes.
But I just didn't have much expectations for this, especially after we kind of expected a little bit from Dime a Dollar, and then that failed miserably. And this one, from you guys talking about it, kind of sounds a little similar. One more show from summer, that is Momokun Sword Highway.
This is actually more bad than Blade Dance. It really is, and I'm still watching it because, I mean, it's just bad in a totally different way. It's all fan service. It's a terribly stupid story, a terribly stupid main character. But it's just okay. You're watching it for Peaches. There you go.
Yeah, her boobs look like peaches.
Everything looks like peaches.
And folks, we just rounded out this middle of the summer review with two lukewarm cups of mediocrity. We're sorry about that.
Yeah, I feel like maybe we should get ourselves back to a good place here with some better anime. As we talk about the ongoing shows, the long-running shows, we seldomly get to talk about like Hunter x Hunter and all those shows on Metanorn and Metaverse. So let's start by talking about Hunter x Hunter. The Chimera Ant arc is done, so we're, you know, 61 episodes later, we're done with a very memorable arc, a very great arc, but also an incredibly slow arc. So it feels a little different now that we're in the election arc, that we're seeing so many of these other characters. It was great to see Leorio back in the mix, and not only just see him, but doing the badass thing that he did of visiting the Hunters Conference and punching Gon's father because he won't see him. That was great, and I really loved how what came of that is that he skyrocketed from like dead last in election voting to third. And as a manga reader, there's some really interesting developments that happen there with that. And it's also great to see Hisoka, who is one of the biggest trolls in all of anime. You know, he brings a really unique quality to Hunter x Hunter. Kar, you're watching this as well.
Yeah. Leorio had better win that election after that, because seriously, that was a really good scene. It's really interesting recently seeing Killua's family, how that all works, because we saw it briefly at the very beginning of the anime, but it's nice that they're bringing that back and showing us more of how that actually works.
Mm-hmm. And also the rules that come with Iluka and how Illumi calls Iluka a he, but Killua says a she, so it's never been officially confirmed what exactly Iluka is, what Iluka's gender is. That's really interesting. And that Killua kind of knows things that everybody else doesn't is interesting. But, you know, I don't remember if I had seen a mom back in the series, but whenever you see anime moms in anime, it's always like, pardon the term, but they're always kind of MILF-type characters, whereas Killua's mom is like, she's all wrapped around in bandage, and she's got this cyclops thing on her head. It's a really odd, unusual look, but really unique for a mom-type character in anime. So next up is Haikyuu. I have been really enjoying this series ever since the practice matches have concluded, and now we're getting into the high school tournament, and they're facing up against other schools for real. And it's been just so entertaining because, you know, we're seeing Hinata be a star now, and everybody's kind of watching him like, you know, when number 10 is there, you know, move the rotation around to get the iron wall up on him and stuff. So that's been really good. One Piece, just chugging along as it is. The Block D battle is going on right now. And while that's not as interesting as some of the other stuff, I think it's at a point right now in the anime where I'm kind of waiting for other events to happen. No spoilers for the manga, but there's some pretty significant ones that come up, and right now the arc is kind of going along okay in Dressrosa, but eventually it'll really start to come alive and really start to be entertaining. Nobody is watching Naruto Shippuden. I'm reading the manga, but I just don't have the time to, you know, stop at all the fillers and then pick the show back up about 5 weeks later or something. So we move on to Captain Earth Highway.
I like Captain Earth. I've liked it the whole time. It's the kind of mecha show that I am interested in, actually. So, I mean, it's going along pretty well. They did hit a slow spot kind of at the beginning of this season with the Planetary Gear of the Week, where they had to, where they were going around in a train and had the exact same fight like 5 weeks in a row, kind of thing. So that was pretty dull. But since they've gotten away from that, and now we got all the planetary gears lined up on one side, and we've got Puck, the AI who's taken over Kube's body and turned him into this huge womanizer at Globe or Salty Dog or wherever he is. I can't quite keep Salty Dog in. Oh, Macbeth. Oh, I can't keep the three major corporations separate. But I really like the parts that Hana's been in, and I like the Hana and Daiichi together thing. And I think that the show's doing very well. And they throw in stuff like in a Chronoplan, which is just a giant boat that floats on the earth, flies over the water. And it's just a fun show to watch.
And that's one that Fosh and Skylion are covering weekly as a mini talk. I bailed on that one because I dropped it at episode 17. I was just kind of getting bored with the show, to be honest. And when I saw 16, I was like, okay, we're doing more fights. And then 17 was kind of the same episode. That's when I just decided I don't really feel like watching this anymore. So next we move on to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. We've had a couple 2-episode arcs recently with Dan of Steel and Death 13, and I think episode 20, the most recent episode from this season, would be my favorite episode. I just loved so much about it. There was the great imagery stuff, and the sort of the payoff to when they defeated Death 13 and then what they made him do to get his comeuppance was just great.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I did like the last episode a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't spoil it because it's such a good payoff for that.
it's worth it.
Any other thoughts, guys?
I feel like this, I've said it before, but this edition of JoJo's just hasn't been quite as good as the first one that David Productions did. But it has had definitely had its ups as well as its downs. So, and I agree that this latest episode was pretty phenomenal. So yeah, I think it still shows sparks of that, or signs of that magic that this series is capable of. I just wish it hadn't gone on quite as long. I feel like 20 episodes for this one story is more than I would have hoped from JoJo.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the way it's going to be, it seems, for not just the rest of this season, but going into next season, until they eventually get to Egypt and find JoJo, Dio. But until then, any thoughts, Kara?
Yeah, it does seem long, but compared to the first two seasons, like, I don't really favor this one over the other one, but they've been doing a pretty good job at, like, balancing the team. Like, it's not just the JoJo doing things, it's everybody here. The side characters can actually win fights.
Next up is Baby Steps, which I should have put after Haikyuu because they're both sports anime. But Baby Steps is definitely the most sports anime you can watch currently. Especially with the style of the show, with so focused on tennis and so focused on A-chan's improvement as a tennis player in applying his note-taking skills, and then somehow he met some other guy that did it the same thing with taking notes except on a computer, but and then they're kind of comparing each other. But it has been, for a sports anime, it has been very entertaining. And I'm really anxious to see, you know, what happens in this year, and if A-chan can indeed win the All Japan Open to officially become a pro.
Yeah, meeting that other guy with the notes, I think he was second. It's kind of, it makes things more hopeful for A-chan, because if he can make it that far doing that, then A-chan can.
Yeah. I was hoping we'd get to see a little bit more of Natsu actually play tennis, because that's one of the things they introduced at the beginning of the series, is that Natsu wanted to become a pro, but they haven't showed her in, you know, that many matches this season.
No, she's kind of become like a side thought.
Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate, because you know, there just aren't that many sports shows with female characters that get to, you know, be the star. Fairy Tail. Don't you watch this one, Kara?
I'm like 7 episodes behind, okay. So.
Yeah, it's a shonen thing where sometimes you let some episodes pile up. And then our last show, I believe, in case I've missed something, I mean, none of us watch Precure or anything like that. It is Mahoku Kokono Reitose Highway.
Yeah, I'm still watching, like, the show. I don't blog it regularly. I blog it after an arc because I'm tired of the same. Because if it's all got the same name, it's all the same episode. So there.
Mm-hmm.
So they just have started the Yokohama Crisis arc or whatever it is. And they finished up the 9 schools competition, which was actually pretty good. I mean, the show really has a Star Trek The Next Generation feel to it, where everything's kind of sanitized, and they have these competitions that range from pretty good, where like Monolith Code was pretty good, where they go around and like blast the other guys and do stuff, and they have other ones that are just terrible, like tennis with guns. And or skeet shooting that's totally hacks, and this girl can set up this whole thing and just blast anything that shows up in there by pulling the trigger. I mean, some of them were good, some of them were bad. Or Mirage Bat, which was Maho Shoujo practice, where they can fly around and whack things with a stick.
Wait, they can fly? Wasn't that supposed to be some super special skill?
It was, but Super Tatsuya came up with how to make everybody fly.
Huh.
So Super Tatsuya, basically he's like the Kirito of the show, but he doesn't go off on the emotional jags that Kirito does, which actually makes me like him more. I mean, he's like robot Kirito with no emotions or something. He's still set up as like the super guy in the show. Like, he's unbeatable in battle. Because he can like self repair in an instant. He's super smart. He came up with how to fly. He came up with all this stuff. He's super anti hacker. Like, they try and hack into his house and he stops them. And he's just Superman. I mean, but somehow he's in the dope student like class, because he's not super fast with casting something, even though he's never been beaten in any draw or anything like that. It's like the most hopelessly misclassified person ever. So they're using this one hook as like, well, he's a course one student and we shouldn't let him do everything. It's like if you classified everything by like how blue it was, this guy's much better than everyone else, but he's kind of greenish, so he's not as good. I mean, that's just kind of how it works out. But I mean, even with it, even with the stiffness and with the super overpowered character and the kind of slow pace and the stupid episode naming, it's still a show I like to watch a lot, like Star Trek The Next Generation, which was like the offices of an office building in space, or the adventures of an office building in space, because like, oh, we've run into something, let's have a committee meeting. it kind of feels like that, but they're doing okay with the show.
Yeah, it seems like with the whole thing about him being a weed, Is that
the... Yes. Yeah. The derogatory name is Weed. Okay. As opposed to the Blooms.
Oh, yeah. It seemed like something that they wanted to start with, but as the series progresses, it kind of loses its meaning that he's a Course One student.
Well, it has, but they're still using him as this wedge. Because like before, we never had any Course One students on the student council or Course Two students on the student council or on the disciplinary committee. Well, he'll be the first one. We never had any Course Two students in first years be on the be engineers for the nine schools competition. Well, he'll be the first one. And it's like, well, we've never had any first years or Course Two students be in the thesis competition. Well, he'll be the first one. So it's like he's the kind of trying to set it up as groundbreaking, but he's just too singular to actually be starting a trend.
He's all about breaking barriers.
He's breaking barriers, but he's setting up the fence behind him because that's like I'm gonna get in here and shut the door behind me.
And on that is all the shows that we have to discuss here on the Metaverse Podcast. Now that we're halfway through the summer season a little bit, sort of thinking back about when we did the preview, has your opinion maybe overall changed on the season? Do you think, maybe it was a little better than I thought, or it's about the same?
I think it's a pretty good season. I'm actually liking a lot of the shows more than I'd liked the spring season shows. A lot of the shows are just really hitting exactly what they're trying to be. Hana Yamada is hitting exactly what it's trying to be. Aohara Ride is exactly what it's trying to be. Local Doll is exactly what it's trying to be. And when shows are hitting what they're trying to be, it seems more satisfying than if they're not.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this season. I also think it's stronger than last season. For me, it's really defined by Sabagebu. That's just been my favorite show all year, really. Just I look forward to it every single week. But also, you know, it has plenty of other good shows, like Space Dandy, which I think it was a big surprise for me, but it's just been excellent. Sword Art Online has been very fun to watch. And there are other shows like Terra in Residence, Alt Nova Zero. I've criticized them both, but in the end, they both do things right that are just make them a lot of fun.
Sky?
I don't really compare season to season, which one was better, which one was worse. I get my enjoyment where I get it, and I don't really question the clock or the calendar all that much. But so far, just to reiterate what Highway says, yes, it's good to watch the shows that have a mission statement and fulfill that mission with dignity and aplomb. Wonderful. Terrific.
Car?
Yeah, I don't compare season to season either, but I found that a lot of the shows I was iffy on at the beginning, like episode one, now I'm enjoying them fully, so things have just gotten better, I guess.
And I think summer is terrible. I'm ready for this really hot weather to go away. No, but of the shows, pretty much what I expected. I actually did kind of expect that I would quit on Sword Art Online after a while. I didn't realize it would be this soon.
Premier League came along. Boom, you're there.
Yeah. I gotta watch European soccer. That's how it is for me.
And hey, that was fun this morning.
Yeah, that was. Manchester United loses in Louis van Gaal's debut.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I didn't know they let the Welsh have a football team.
So on that soccer talk, this has been the Metaverse Podcast, episode 46. Men in Orange Society, of course, all the social networks and stuff. Sometimes you'll see Smiley's banner on Facebook for annoying reasons.
Lead hacks code.
It's so perplexing to me why it would pick that image.
We have no idea. He's just like special. He's like powder or something.
Anything else you guys want to say or shout out to before I sign off?
Watch Majimoji Rurimo. Needs more love.
All right. So for Karakuri, for Min, for Skyline, and for Highway, I'm J-Ro. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.